Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day. We want to, everybody, we want to wish you
a great day.
A great day. Well, welcome to today's episode of Here's Your Health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Ron Epley, and with me as usual is
your other co-host, Dr. Shane Beaufort. Remember, this is a call-in show, so we encourage everybody to give us a call. And that number is 347-989-8722. So, you,
well, you'd think after 12 years I'd be able to open the show correctly.
You think, but hey, that's all right.
A daylight savings time got me. I set my alarms, but evidently I didn't set my clock.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Hopefully it happens. I love daylight savings time. It's my favorite. I'm more of the kind of guy.
Yeah, well, at least with a weather change already, I'm able to get out in the yard and do some yard work yesterday.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. We had this really nice weather here in Oregon. And then, you know, it's like all the trees are starting to bloom and everything, and the bees are starting to come out, and all of a sudden we start snowing like the next day.
I know, that was crazy too, huh? And now here we are supposed to be making, supposed to be almost 70 today. And it's supposed to go back down 20 degrees. Was rain. Oh, well.
Rain for like 10 days in a row.
That was awful.
No, I heard the news report today.
Well, I got to the nice advantage of the yesterday, and I took my daughter for a 30-mile bike ride. That's her longest ride so far.
She's actually able to keep up?
Well, you know, if I pedal slow.
Isn't that funny? The old man is leading the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to give her credit, though. She did a really good job. She, first time she did a big hill. And she did it, and then not quite, but almost halfway into the ride, she took a spill. And actually took a little less scheduled break on the side of the road and let her recover, and I fixed the bike a little bit. I gave her a little snack and had to drink some water, and we got back on the bike, and we did the other 16, 18 miles, whatever it was.
She didn't have to eat her own teeth, huh?
Nope. She didn't go down too hard. She had a little scratch on her shoulder. That was it. She said she's a little sore this morning from it. So we'll get her adjusted today.
Well, I'm a little sore from gardening.
Right.
I haven't worked outside in a while.
Yeah. How are you?
Everything. Anyway, get this show on the road.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Start off with one of our favorite subjects. Eating fish.
Good for it.
Maybe tied to a reduced risk of MS.
Well, see, there you go. Which makes it complete sense when you understand that, you know, when yours are a lot of fat substances.
Yeah, they're surrounded by myelin, which is EPA DHA, right?
Right.
The sheath, it's almost the insulation of the nerves, yeah.
Yep. So it makes total sense when you think of it that way. So if you got plenty of fish oil in your diet, you're going to have a less chance of MS. Well, MS is more of the. MS is that the one, the demyelination of the central nervous system? That's what it is. And then the periphery nervous system, that one's more Lou Gehrig's disease or something like that, right?
Yeah, it says here, eating fish at least once a week or eating fish 1 to 3 times per month in addition to taking daily fish oil supplements may be associated with a reduced risk of MS. According to a preliminary study released today, that will be presented at the American Academy of Neurology's 70th annual meeting in Los Angeles in April. These findings suggest that the omega-3 fatty acids found in fish may be associated with lowering the risk of developing MS.
Well, that's good for like the risk, lowering the risk of developing MS. I'm kind of curious too what you can do about correcting MS as well. I mean, if you have MS, I mean. You know, increase your fish oil, of course, so you can prevent worse degradation of your nervous system.
Well, I have one patient. As you know, we both had several patients over the years with MS because they end up in chiropractor's office. But I have one who I diagnosed her 16 with MS.
Right.
The neurologist said it's the earliest she's ever seen anybody diagnosed with it, so she was pretty surprised when she discovered that's what it was.
Right.
And so it was revealed with a brain scan because of lesions in the brain, right?
Right.
And we've been treating her at least every 2 weeks ever since. got her on fish oil and vitamin D and probiotics and stuff like that, right?
Oh, that's cool.
And her lesions have never changed in over 20 years.
Right. Nice.
The doctors keep trying to get her on medication. Because why? I'm not changing. Nothing's changing.
Right.
Why?
I don't need to change. If it's nothing's changing, I don't need to change anything.
Exactly.
Unless you can give me something to make it better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not preventing, but make it better. So
I know it's not a study. It's only anecdotal. But, you know, chiropractic care and the wellness program worked quite well for her.
So, you know, you know, so many people poo-poo the anecdotal evidence, right? I get it. I mean, it is anecdotal or whatever, but, you know, those things, you know, that's how you get started, right?
Exactly how you get started.
You got to have that to form a hypothesis, a decent one anyway, and then you can do the studies if it's possible. Of course, we've talked about that a number of times, too. How can you do a good chiropractic double-blind placebo study? You just can't.
You can't. And that's just the gold standard.
Right.
So studies, they're not the only studies. And that's just the gold standard because it applies to medication.
Right.
Not really anything else. It doesn't apply to anything in physical medicine. How do you take anything?
Right.
Even the Zorona laser that we have here for body sculpting, the study that they did on it used the laser and sunlight. So you can see how it can be... compatible and be able to fool someone without knowing which one they got. Maybe.
Right.
The lasers are pretty easy to see. How do you take a laser?
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's a different wavelength of a laser because I can use something like that. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess the only other way you'd be able to do it too is to have an ear system where they can't see the laser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like do it on the back or whatever.
Do it on the back or put glasses on them.
Some sort of blindfold or something.
That's what I thought a double-blind placebo-controlled study was.
Yeah.
The doctor and a patient and a blindfold.
That's right.
That's what I thought.
That's right.
But silly me.
You know, we could head down a really bad road with that, so maybe we better stop. That's pretty good, though.
So, University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. Patients with head injuries do better when treated by trauma centers, even if it means bypassing other hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, you know, it makes sense, though, too, because they're better at dealing with trauma than they are. You know, ER deals with everything. Hospitals don't deal with any of it very well.
No, I know. Well, the whole system never treated head injuries very well.
Right, right.
It's only recently that we're beginning to realize what a mess we have. They're not just getting a stun or whatever we used to call it.
Right.
Got your head hit.
Yeah.
I forget what we used to do. It's terrible coming to knock people.
Yeah.
Well, just get up and shake it off. You're going to be okay. Whoa.
Right.
That's nothing compared to what happened when I was your age.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we never had helmets when we were your age.
That's right. Too funny.
It is, right? Now these guys are a serious problem. So, incivility at work. Is Queen Bee Syndrome getting worse? It's not really medical, but it's in my science failing
right.
to do it.
That's
does the phenomenon of women and discriminating against other women in the workplace, particularly as a rising seniority, has long been documented as the queen.
Mm-hmm.
As women have increased their ranks in the workplace, most will admit to experiencing group behavior and incivility. And is it getting worse? Yeah, it's getting worse.
That's interesting.
Yeah, especially when we live in this politically incorrect world. Or I can't tell you how many women that will tell me that they prefer to work with a male boss.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think women tell me, too, that, you know, my first person that I think brought it up to me maybe was from one of my biology instructors.
anyway, so she was a doctor of biology, and she was talking about how that typically a group of women don't work well together unless there's at least one man in the group.
And it's just something about the one, you know, having one that kind of calms everybody down. And which I thought was interesting, right? Because if you've got a group of men, they can work pretty well together. You put a little woman in there, and then they all start getting, you know, sidetracked by the woman or something.
So, yeah, they can. I've seen it in the military a lot when they start allowing women. How many men got sidetracked by women.
Uh-huh. Which is it's kind of
interesting to me.
But it never happened in Buckley, which is like 50-50, right?
Right.
A medical company, but half the medical people are female,
half the
other half are male. You never really saw any problems.
Mm-hmm.
How about other than typical problems? You've not seen it.
Right, that's not true.
Sure. U.S. dyslexia policies ignore scientific evidence. I believe that. As many of the current U.S. federal and state dyslexia laws should be scrapped as they ignore scientific evidence and privilege some poor readers at the expense of huge numbers of others, according to a leading expert in reading disability. So, yeah, that's what happens is the poor class is getting turning into the privileged class.
Right. Yes.
In that we've always seen this in the school system is that the head start for poor people. Well, what's the head start for anybody else?
Right, they're going to pay for it.
They're going to pay for it. And yet, the funny thing, the irony is that almost every study ever done, show that it doesn't work.
Right.
But yet they continue to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're giving free babysitting service, expensive babysitting service to people who are poor.
Right.
So the other thing you used to see is, I know when I saw it, is poor people getting special education classes, even though there was no special ed, nothing specially wrong with the person.
Right.
They weren't so bad, they put them on the short bus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Back in the day, they had the three less buck bus or whatever. They weren't that bad. But then, because they were poor, and they were always poor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. These are the ones that got all the special education costs.
Right.
They're the ones that got the free breakfast, the free lunch, the free, seem to be everything. And yet, you know, their parents did as well, if not better, than my parents.
Right.
Which was.
I was wondering about some of that, too. You know, if we were in that same situation in the school I went to, or in experience in my town I grew up in, you know, you always have those kids that were. Like you said, you know, got the free lunch and the free bread or whatever, and maybe in special ed, whatever. But, yeah, I don't know if they were worse off than my family was or not, but it was always interesting.
Yeah, that's always funny how it works that way, right?
Yep. Now, we've seen it, too. I think we can, like the Oregon Health Plan here, when I first started working in Oregon with you here, it was an interesting thing to me to see. The Oregon Health Plan was, you know, for poverty-stricken people who just couldn't whatever, and they have health care. And we would see people with Oregon Health Plan drive up in cars nicer than ours.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, and you're on Oregon Health Plan. Yeah. How'd you do that? So, you know, because you're supposed to be able to document your finances and stuff like that as well. And it's like, I don't know. It seems kind of sketchy to me, but whatever.
Yeah, we definitely saw that.
Yeah.
A lot. We used to work when I was in high school. I was selected for a new program they had called Executive Intern High Schools of America, where they got I got out of high school and went and worked for this company to learn business and learn all that stuff like that. So they threw me into American Red Cross. And one time I was in charge of the food bank. Doling out the food. Their policy was anybody comes in and asks, we give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, I didn't think that was right.
Right.
So I started kind of caused a little bit of a problem. Until the one lady that drove up in a Mercedes on a weekly basis to get food, I turned her down and she raised the stink. And I made the manager go look at the car she was driving. You know what I mean? And then it's like, well, okay, maybe we ought to find some other way to figure out how to go on the food. Because No, a food bank sometimes gets full and then sometimes it's empty.
Right.
And this lady, it wasn't just her car, the way she dressed. It was like, you could sell that necklace and feed yourself for 10 years.
Right.
I know, right? I know. It's funny what people will do. Save a lot or whatever, you know.
No,
there's times that my focus probably qualifies you to do things or a program like that. We just choose not to. We'll just figure it out. And we have a trap. And that's just, it was right, wrong, or otherwise, you know, that's just the way it is. It's just the way we look at it. You know, the way we were brought up, and that's just it. You know? So we don't look down on others who need to have that help and take help. But we do look down on those people who don't need the help, but they take it anyway. That's not a problem. And that's why we've never done it.
Well, I look down on a system where people that need the help don't get the help.
Yeah, that too.
But the people that don't need it are getting it.
Right. That's right where I'm at with it too.
Yeah.
Really? So, yeah.
So Loyola, Loyola University Health System. Birth control pills increase the risk of ischemic stroke. Does oral contraceptives increase the risk of ischemic stroke? But this risk is very small among women who do not have other stroke risk factors, according to a new paper. But women who have other risk factors, adding this one is more of an additive effect, so it's even higher. So if you don't have any risk factors, it still gives you a small increased risk of stroke. So I don't know what the risk is. It didn't say exactly what it was, but you know, one of these days, I'd really like to see a quantitative view of how many people end up with a stroke because they're doing this and other things. So you can put things into perspective, right? Like how many people are killed by guns every year. We see that number on TV, right? We see the number ad nauseum of every little detailed statistic of stuff like that. And yet other things, we don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to compare safety factors from one thing to another.
Right.
An old number of people that die each year from non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, just from gastrointestinal bleeding, is 33,000 people a year. And that is considered safe, and we want to put people on aspirin every single day. And everybody should be on aspirin. And, well, not according to us, but that's what you hear all the time. And that it kills not that many people die. But you got to ban other things because a tenth of that lot of people die.
You see, there's not that much in gun violence.
Yeah, I know. You might say, I know.
Pharmaceutical death is okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, that's what I mean.
I know, I'm right here with you. I worked out numbers for out there so we can begin to put them in perspective. I don't know, it's safety.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems like sometimes, like a bicycle on the back of the person dies, headlines are all over.
Oh my God.
Should listen to this study right here. It says rocker bottom shoes help reduce chronic low back pain.
Really?
A new study confirms that rocker bottom shoes help strengthen back muscles, improving the spine's curvature and thus reducing low back pain.
Nice.
Yeah, no. My personal annoying answer to the phone in the morning isn't here, probably for the same reason I was late.
Yeah. She's all like, oh, yeah, she'll be here in another half hour.
Yeah, exactly. Pick a teacher early.
Yeah.
You know what? It gets people. It's a common thing that people get mixed up on the date. I didn't even know it was there until someone told me, because I don't watch TV like I used to when I was younger. Not listening to the news. I had no idea. Just like, isn't it getting time to change the clock? Oh, yeah, you were supposed to do that last night. Oh, really?
Yeah. That's funny.
I know.
I know it from only because I get excited for it, because I don't have any extra time to ride my bike, and I'm like looking for an extra time where I can.
But it takes away that light in the morning.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather do that because it's usually warm.
Yeah.
It's hard. Sometimes it's hard, but I like doing it better. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, if you wore some warm clothes instead of those.
I do, trust me.
Those tight things. Yeah, how do women get into their clothes? I'm just asking you my question, but it's making a lot of pretty, not very easy.
See, that makes it really stretches. I was, explaining to somebody the other day, I said, it's one thing to be a middle-aged man in Lycra, it's another thing to be a fat middle-aged man in Lycra. Which is me.
Yeah, I can no longer say I'm a middle-aged anymore. I'm an old man now.
Yeah.
Officially. Heart attack patients prescribed antidepressants have worse 1 year survival.
Yeah. And antidepressants are not good for us.
No. I know. And that's again what we say. What are the real risk factors? I bet you could ask 100 people to walk into your office within the next week.
Mm-hmm.
But the side effects of any of us. I'm just not a single one of them.
No, probably not.
I bet you took the next 100 people on it. I don't know. I'm just not a single one of them.
That's probably true, too. Well, because you know how many people I see, and of course, with the commercial driver's license that I have to do as many as I do. Honestly, sometimes people come in with a longer list of medications. And it's not just them, but other patients too, and you kind of ask them the same question. It's well, what's this in for? Well, I don't know. My doctor told me to take it.
Oh, my God. I hear that all the time.
I don't know what it's for. My doctor told me I need to take it. Are you kidding me? You don't know what this is for? Because it's not important to understand what you're doing to yourself. And what my doctor said is just take it. The doctor knows what I need to do. You're just kidding. Never mind. There's that door. Go ahead. Go through it. I'll see you next time. Don't bother coming back. I can't do this today. Because no matter what I say to you, you're not listening to me because the doctor said this.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thing to ask.
And this is interesting. It says babies who look like their father at birth are healthier.
Well, there you go.
I know, isn't that
sound?
I don't know. But that's one of those almost nonsensical type studies. But maybe I wouldn't even want to worry about it. It's like, oh, you're a baby, you don't look like your father, so I don't know. Well, maybe, like, that doesn't look like me, we're going to take that kid out. Exactly. I don't think that's my child. He's not going to survive.
That's right. Yeah, that explains a lot.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, me too. That's pretty funny.
Luckily, the baby's mom will survive. That would be another study. Let's do that one. Let's get a couple of million-dollar grant studies for the survival of mothers. Whose infants look like the father compared to the father who the infants don't look like.
Right. Yeah, that's a good study. I mean, interesting, man.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a link between heart attacks and inflammatory bowel disease.
Very serious. Yeah. Tell about what you eat.
Yes, it is.
Right.
So University Hospital, Harrington, and Park. And that's the Institute of Researchers, whatever they say. Recently concluded
study more. 22 million patients. This is a big study, right?
And that suggests that a strong connection between their irritable and pulmonary bowel disease as well as heart disease. So, by using our product that we'd like to do for detoxification, which the product on the label says, advanced support for nutritional management of compromised gut function in irritable bowel disease. So by doing this, we can help prevent heart disease or heart attacks. No, it says cardiovascular disease. Okay. And heart attack. So, now I gotta ask you this, Dr. Goforth. This is a rhetorical question. So can we make health claims based on that?
Well, we can make any health claims.
Even though the science clearly shows a strong correlation between irritable bowel disease and heart disease and heart attack.
Well, it's funny, I already did, right? So, unfortunately, you just got to change what you eat. You know, eat better. Do stuff that's going to support your cardiovascular system. That's going to get your gut flora.
Yeah.
So, and we talk about that, too, all the time. I mean, if you're going to mess up by eating all these other bad foods that aren't good for you, which I've had my fair share of, too, the gut bacteria changes. Of course, we've seen how many studies that correlate between gut bacteria and cardiovascular health or brain health or whatever. I mean, so it's all there. Which is the biggest problem with gut issues, right? It's the gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. And it's all connected.
Yeah.
A lot more found interesting in the connection between brain and roots. Right. That was my evidence.
I thought that was pretty incredible.
That one could be there, too.
Yeah,
there's so much we can do for people now that we never realized. I don't think the average person can even begin to have a clue of how good we really are for patients, right? Because not just because of the initial, which is pretty good, but just little things like the new body base,
fish oil, probiotics, fixing
some of these problems. Being healthy and having good eyesight network with hearing more. Because, you know, it's a weird disconnect.
That is a weird disconnect. Well, what other professionals are talking about? You go to an ear doctor because you haven't been hearing on the day ever seen. How about an eye doctor? I mean, most of the people get their information online. They want to buy these nutritional supplements for eyesight, right?
Okay.
Or anything. When did the doctor do it? And yet, that should be the number one thing ever.
Right. I remember as a kid hearing that you got to eat your carrots because it's good for your ears.
Yeah.
Right. Well, where did that come from? Well, I don't know. Just like some
my doctor never told me that.
My doctor never said anything like that. And I've been to a lot of ophthalmologists all the time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
They're willing to stick a needle in your eye.
Yeah, right. Several. Almost at the same time.
Poke 1,000 needles in your eye.
That's right. But, yeah, none of them ever talked to me about nutrition. And how important it is.
So, this is what this says. Hearing loss is the fourth leading cause of disability around the globe. At least 80% of patients with hearing loss are from low and middle income countries. Prevalence estimates hearing anyway, in South Asia is 14 to 28% of the population. In a related study here, poor nutrition leads 200 million children intellectually stunted. Yeah.
That's interesting. Hmm. Makes sense, I guess. Lack of nutrition, lack of money to get good nutrition. But then you have people in this country where we're not economically depressed, as it were, in comparison to the rest of the world. Most of the majority of Americans have ample enough income to feed themselves, and, you know, then we have that food. Food banks and what have you to help with some of that too. But we still don't get the nutrition that we need, so we still have a lot of this problem. So.
I also see the problem with like food stamps. So people that need them can get them, they don't get enough.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, they don't get enough in order to feed them properly. Right. But again, most of them aren't out there marching in the streets demanding better nutrition.
Right.
Because they don't really mind eating the cheeseburgers and Papa Aldo's pizza, whatever that company is now, Papa Murphy's pizza, that they can get on food stamps.
Right.
All the other prepackaged foods, they don't seem to come because they like them.
Right.
I mean, I like them. I used to like them too, right? So why not? So, but there won't be a demand for them getting more or better quality until they stand up and do it.
Right.
So I know when I looked into it once, I was comparing what's allowed to be purchased with food stamps in different states. And, you know, a lot of the people have a misunderstanding that they're allowed to only get junk food. Not really, but the food that they get isn't the best quality, but it's really not that bad.
Right.
You know, here's the deal. And how much are we supposed to contribute to their diet? Beans and rice are good. Well, sort of.
Right. They're good fillers.
Yeah, but you know, half the world lives on rice.
Right.
So, and I would think that rice, even though it's full of arsenic and stuff, might be better than the other grains. Nothing in the valley, right?
Right.
But, God, why can't they just get something decent?
Yeah, I don't get it either. I agree with you.
The better the food, the better the outcome. Because
we got something that's nutritionally sufficient. It's not actually. They start to tend to do more.
You know, okay, so I just thought of something. My son moved back to Oregon. He's a food scientist, right?
Right.
So he, we were talking this weekend, and I thought it would be cool if we could bring him into the radio show one day and give his perspective, because he was just in the Midwest in Wisconsin, right? Talking about how far behind they are, us on the West Coast, in their ability to eat and take care of themselves. He goes, he thought smoking was gone until he moved back there, and everybody smokes there. Like, I don't understand it, Dad. He says, what's the difference?
Right.
He goes, food, they can't get any good quality fish there like we get out here. We get this. Well, of course, we live on the coast, so we take it for granted. I eat a lot of fish here, a lot of really good fish. And, you know, a lot of people out here are still hunters, so I get people bring me elk and stuff periodically. Not as much as I'd really like to. But, you know, he was telling me, he goes, Dad, the quality of food out here is just far surpasses that in the Midwest. The lifestyle that we live is different. Coffee, which is healthy for us, we drink more out here than they do. Beer, actually, he was telling me yesterday, I didn't know this, but Oregon is the has the highest consumption of alcohol per capita of any state in the United States. Part of it is because the beer industry started in the Pacific Northwest, and then the Oregon wine industry just taken off like crazy, and more people consume it. So he goes, yeah, I could tell immediately as soon as I get out here from when he just moved back a week ago, week or two ago. Tell a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found it quite fascinating too.
I know we went to Michigan a few years ago. And of course, you know, even in Wyoming where I grew up, before I left Wyoming, which had been almost 20 years ago, the smoking that they had there, you know, the smoking laws
were you know, smoking section, non-smoking section, and some of the restaurants got to be where there's no smoking allowed.
Yeah.
And then we went to Michigan a few years ago, and they had no such thing as a smoking section. They just had smoking was allowed in restaurants. And I'm looking around, and I'm seeing ashes on the table, and I'm going, wow, I haven't seen that in, you know, a long, long time. It was crazy how long it's been that I've seen something like that.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it weird?
And
we're just so used to the lifestyle out here that we take it for granted.
Right, right. So it was an interesting thing to hear that happen. So I found it very, very funny that we had that experience. So, you know, that just gives you the difference between here and the Midwest. But even in Wyoming, you know, it's like the least populated state in the Union, they're having smoking, non-smoking sections, and then pretty soon no smoking at all. Because Oregon here, where we're at now, is more strict than Wyoming at that. But still, I find it interesting. The only place you get like that in Oregon, you got to go to the people that are...
Oh, yeah, they don't follow anyway.
Yeah, because they don't have to.
That's a sore subject as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how can we allow
right
within our own borders a sovereign nation with their own rules and regulations to pretty much do whatever they want? And I know they do because I've seen people injured at work and try to follow the work comp rules within our state.
It's
almost like reverse discrimination. You know, they just eat up people and spit them out, use them. Like,
mm-hmm.
Well, you work in the place, you know. They just spit them out, like use them, and throw them out like old laundry. Poorly treated is probably not as poorly treated, but poorly treated almost to make up for years of being poorly treated themselves. Okay. TCM herbs are traditional Chinese medicine herbs found to be safe and very effective for treating diabetic foot or diabetic neuropathy, according to a meta-analysis and review. Now, I used to do traditional Chinese medicine a long time ago. Metagenics had a nice line of them. I used them for treatment. I listened to seminars and audio cassettes back in the day.
Right.
An education on how to use them. I used them and did okay with them, but I kind of went away with it. Decided that we have a local acupuncturist who I really like. I'll put it down, Dr. Mark Stone. And he's trained from China. So I decided, you know what? My playing around with it isn't nearly as good as you. I will defer to you for doing it. And he was telling me that, well, I just don't do the nutritional stuff like you do, so. I'll defer to you.
Cool.
Use our own expertise and trying to figure it out.
So, but there is nice review here that they work. The other problem I put to it a long time ago is just the lack of science, legitimate science.
Yeah, that becomes a problem too.
Same with homeopathy. There's just they're just terrible findings. I mean, if you just look at things that the studies are small enough that show that it's good, and so they're within the realm of error.
Right.
Just, plus or minus 5-6% or whatever, and there you go. That's,
yeah.
That's just what happens. Okay, here we go. Diet and exercise prevents diabetes in dogs, too.
Imagine that.
Canine obesity is on the rise, which I've seen, along with all the related health problems.
Right.
So, speaking of canine obesity, I remember
when I was in high school, so obesity's been going on with dogs for a little while.
Yeah, I'm all damn out.
Yep.
And, see, you were really quick to jump on that bandwagon.
Well, I'm not about you.
You're older than me, so you must be home.
Right.
Anyway, I remember delivering meals on wheels with people when the first time I ever saw an obese dog in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a wiener dog. And its belly growing on the ground so fast.
Okay.
Like, oh my God, it felt so awful for that dog. And that was before any other obesity awareness started coming out.
Right.
So.
And that's crazy. That and the cats, too, the feline obesity.
I've seen them, too.
Just seen them all. And it's like, really?
You know, the funny thing is, I had an outdoor cat.
And some
people would drive by and go, oh, your cats are so skinny, and they wanted to feed them the crappy food. So I thought,
right.
I cooked more.
Yeah, right.
I had spoiled cats.
Uh-huh.
But when we cut them cancer, one of them started developing tumors. So,
right.
This is stupid. Why am I doing this? I know better than to feed them this crappy food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being cheap and lazy, so I started to cook for them. The tumors went away, but they're still skinny.
Right.
So they started feeding them cheap food. My cats are getting sick.
Right.
It's like, are you kidding me? What the heck are you doing feeding my cats? You do-gooders who don't know what you're doing?
Right. Yep.
Oh, but they're so skinny. But they're healthy.
Yeah.
You're used to fat animals.
Right.
Who are not healthy.
Right.
Skinny is okay, as long as you're healthy.
Yeah, they got plenty of food from boys. They were healthy as healthy could be.
Right.
Their coats were nice and smooth and shiny.
To be.
I know.
People forget that. It's fun.
I know.
Okay, so major side effects from popular medicine.
Beta blockers. And painkillers are found in double resistant. Double your risk of sick.
That doesn't seem right. Beta blockers, huh? The beta blockers are supposed to be for your high blood pressure, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay, so here's what it says. But a new study from the University of Aberdeen has uncovered a more startling cause of stroke. Anticholinergic medications, including hay fever remedies, diarrhea treatments, beta blockers and painkillers all increase your risk of stroke. Anticholinergic medications affect the body's cholinergic system, which regulates the gut and heart. The effects have already been linked to memory loss, dementia, and falls. Here's what they say. In the Journal of Epidemiology, they say there's a plethora of common drugs dramatically increase stroke.
Well, there you go.
Can increase your risk of stroke, and that will push
on.
Because we're going to prevent these now.
I know, I hear you.
Okay, so the medications that increase the risk of stroke risk include the following: Piriton, whatever it is, a hasty remedy, Valium, an anti-inflammatory drug, Imodium, a diarrhea drug, codeine, a common painkiller, and beta blockers.
Well, there you go. I don't think the first one.
Another one is the drugs of the greatest risk for, I've never heard of this, which is a painkiller. Amitriptyline used to treat nerve pain. Oxybutynin used to treat bladder conditions. Another common over time in history. Anyway, there's just
a plethora of it. Right?
No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty sucky right there. I think you're doing something to help yourself, like with beta blockers. Now, the beta blockers are the ones kind of like surprised me a little bit because they're supposed to be, high blood pressure.
Which will decrease your risk of stroke. And that increases your risk of stroke.
oh, your blood pressure is way too high. We got to get some of these beta blockers to keep that blood pressure down so you don't have a heart attack. Well, what about my brain, Doc? Doesn't my body need some higher blood pressure to perfuse all the tissues as I get older as well?
No, you'll be fine. See people on blood pressure medication, and it's like blood pressure is like 100 over
60
or something like that. You know, like, or 50 or even lower or whatever. And it's like, really? Don't they think that's a little low for your age?
Well, I had to go off my blood pressure medication once I dropped my 70 pounds, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I am an old man, but I have the body of a young man now.
Yeah.
My son,
hair, young man.
My son, I know. My son was telling me when I saw him Saturday, he was going, "Dang, Dad, you're almost down to my weight."
Right.
And he goes, "Maybe I better get mine under control."
Yep.
Well, he plans on it. He's now back in Oregon. He's away from the place he hated. He's away from a dairy factory, which he has a problem with dairy.
Yeah,
he had to taste dairy every day as part of what he had to eat.
Right.
Part of his tasting as a food scientist. Now he's in more of a meat-related industry, not dairy. And so he's getting, he starts today. He's already happier than he's been in a while.
That's cool. Good for him.
Get away from crappy foods and those companies that's more into cleaner foods. And again, back to Oregon, where I just can't believe how much nicer it is back in Oregon. This place is awesome.
Yep. It's a well-kept secret.
Yeah.
We're starting to let it out, but
yeah, my ex-wife is pretty happy too. Her guy just got a job at
Wink. Uh-huh.
So moving back to the West Coast.
Right.
She's happy about that. Doesn't realize how much she's missed Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So she got it.
Right.
So that's it. Just
okay. Well, that's good for her. She'll be closer to her boys.
Yeah. She's really happy about that.
Good.
Also, really cool is Jason went over to a military film. The Air Force, we're going to go out to Joint Base, Air Force Base in Fort Lewis, same area. So she's not that far from us. We have to get on weekend.
Very cool.
So, prepare to give us all some of the vitamin E and boosters. There you go.
Well, that is everything once in a while, too.
Yeah. I always recommend it. The claims as well. But I know people that, I don't know people that form a lot of gallstones, but I know people that form a lot of kidney stones, but I've still been trying to find a good thing to help them with the kidney stones. Number one thing I've been able to find is that they just can't drink alcohol. They drink alcohol, they start forming kidney stones. That's crazy. And so you just get them off alcohol, and that, you know, I wish I had a better remedy. Because most of them, they're going to drink a little bit. Go through that pain of passing in kidney stone.
Yeah, that can't be that much fun.
Major university authorized concealed carry of firearms on campus 6 months ago, and the results have been phenomenal for student safety.
Good. I'm not going to go into too many of the details. I just wanted to do that because, again, it's health, right? People are
right.
Some people go crazy with their protest thing.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Okay, so finally, some media truth about California. U.S. News ranks the state at the bottom of the list for quality of life. California.
Right. I can believe that.
Who would have ever thunk that?
Me.
The way we used to see the movies about California and Hollywood. And the sunshine and the outdoor lifestyle and all that stuff, right?
Right. I know.
Well, it's gone to hell in a handbasket, as they used to say, right?
Right.
So.
Well, it's an interesting thing, you know, is I never had a desire to go to California, even when I was young. And, you know, I thought, I wanted to go move to a city, whatever. I never wanted to move to California.
California had nothing interesting to me. You know, it was hot, it was busy, it was too big, it was just, you know, I was always turned off by California because of a lot of the things that are caused by that. And then when I did go down there for college, it was great. I did like it. I still don't really care for it. I can go visit. Those are some, you know, breathtaking places there, but I don't want to go.
Yeah, I remember. I don't even want to go there much unless it's busy.
Right.
I know. Disneyland.
So U.S. News ranks 50 U.S. states, each on 8 major social and economic categories that determine the overall competitive ranking. California received an overall score of 32 in 2018, based on the subcategory rankings for healthcare, 11, education, 26, economy, 4, opportunity, 46, infrastructure, 38, crime and corrections, 28, fiscal stability, 43, and quality of life, 50. Bottom of the list for quality of life, but not that good with everything else, which you'd expect, except for, you know, they got their economy is going pretty well. But part of the reason that they have a quality of life is so low is because they have a good economy. They also have an astronomical cost of living.
Right. Yeah,
so only the wealthy could afford to live there.
Yeah.
That's why they have some of the highest homeless numbers in the nation.
Right. Right.
I know. It's not a cheap endeavor to be in California, that's for sure. I was shocked because when I moved to, shortly before I moved to California to go to chiropractic college, which was in the Bay Area, not in San Francisco, but in the area, it's on the east side. And I called one apartment complex because I wanted to find out what a one bedroom apartment was going to be for my wife and I. And so I called them there, and this was in 97. So 1997, I called down there. And how much is it for this? You know, it was like $1,100 a month. I said, what? For what? And she said, well, you have to figure out how much money you're going to make. I said, I'm going to college then. I'm not going to be
I'm not going to be spending
right, you know, and
because
like,
of all the classes have to live here. I'm going to have to pay their exorbitant salary.
Right? No kidding, man. I tell you, that was nuts.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you.
I know.
Like,
so I went to school a little bit earlier than you, and I went in Portland, and my apartment was a two-bedroom apartment back then, and it was like $185 a month.
Yeah, right. Well, I went to school in Portland for 6 months or so. I lived there for like 9 months. My apartment, one bedroom, was $425 a month.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that, and then they wanted to charge me like over double that in California. I'm like, no way.
Yeah, mine might have been $385. I may be remembering it wrong, but yeah,
right.
That's compared to L.A. as
yeah.
Or the Bay Area is
yeah.
Incredible difference.
Yeah. That was nuts. I couldn't believe that.
Anyway, I ran out of studies. So I
yep.
had to write them out to cover, even though we started a little bit late. Actually, I had two left, but I'm going to do those next time.
Yeah.
So anyway, good show.
Good show.
So that concludes today's show. So until next time,
here's
to your health.